Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining into Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I am Paul Marks, your host, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. So you own, manage, or lease multifamily properties. Leasing properties today is much more complex than ever before. With this in mind, our topic today is the challenges and opportunities in leasing multifamily properties. Joining me in the studio is Joe Melton, Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services with the Morgan Group, Ruth Reyes, a Senior Community Manager with the Morgan Group, and Danny Leviston, a Leasing Consultant with the Morgan Group. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So I think to kind of give our listeners a background, I think everybody in here is seasoned and has been in the industry for a few years. They're not newbies. Joe, kind of talk to us a little bit about where we've come from. For instance, 20, 30 years ago, leasing a property, you had only certain tools that were available to you. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's so funny. Today, there's so much technology and things out there that we take for granted. If it's broken, if it's not working today, if it's not updated, then it's almost as if we can't do business. But if you think about how we started many years ago, I've been in the business for a little over 20 years. There was the apartment guide, a magazine that was in the grocery stores, and that's kind of how everybody found the apartment. They would go to the grocery store, pick up that publication, and we would handwrite guest cards. I remember, you know, some of the conversations when you'd hire somebody was, you know, if there was a handwritten application, if it was not legible, then it'd be like, oh, you know, they'll be filling out guest cards that we have to look at. And so kind of things that you don't even think about now, the leasing kind of the tablet that had kind of where you'd handwrite every piece of traffic every day that came in, and the fax machines. And, I think some of our leasing consultants today would walk by a machine today and not know that it was a typewriter.
Right.
but it's all come full circle. And it's so funny because, you know, we were able to do the same job we do today with much less.
Right.
Right. And so I'm always inspired and really happy when technology kind of meets our business and it's effective.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Danny, from a leasing standpoint, you've been doing this for a couple of years. What have you seen other than what Joe's talked about as far as the way the prospective resident interacts?
Well, it's very comforting to see that residents are technology savvy for the most part. I say larger than 75% of our clients do most of their business on their phone.
Right.
And so I've been in on both sides. I've seen the paper. I've seen the technology come through where we don't have any paper trace at the end of the lease. And I think the new residents that are coming in really, really get excited about the fact that they don't have to leave their personal belongings on our desk.
Right.
And they can apply online.
Well, I'm excited about the fact that we actually have a team from Morgan Group here because, you know, Morgan Group has a reputation for being a forward-thinking company when it comes to things like technology and obviously the properties and the amenities that you guys offer. So our audience who maybe doesn't have that or have the budget maybe that a Morgan would have, hopefully can pick up on some of these tips that we're going to talk about today so that they can maybe apply those ideas to their property. I guess, you know, one of our guests that we had on the show, I think who happened to be at the time the president of TAA, had mentioned that when, because of the technology that's available today, that you really don't know how many lost opportunities you had from people who never come to the property because of a review they may have seen online. So where technology could be potentially a hindrance if it's not kept up with. And, you know, I know that, Ruth, as a manager, you're dealing with the residents on a daily basis with reviews and so forth. How do you work that into your schedule to where you're making sure that those reviews are kept up with?
So we have great technology that allows us to actually track
reviews in real time. We use something that, you know, will notify us as soon as a review is posted. So that in itself is really effective for us, so that it doesn't become something that falls to the back that you're looking at once a month. You know, we get it in real time. And for us as a company, it is extremely important to take that as an opportunity to show, you know, the renter, the potential renter out there, that look, we care. We're not afraid of a negative review. We're going to take that as an opportunity to show you how we're going to take care of your issues when you do live here. And so, you know, we welcome reviews. We encourage our, not only our prospects, but our renters, any visitor to post, even if they've had a great tour. Mm-hmm. And so we don't shy away from that. You know, we understand that brand awareness and word of mouth and reputation management is a huge part of what we do every day.
Right. And Joe, I know that so many people today are, you know, they don't go to a restaurant without reading reviews first. So that's really become part of the culture now, especially with a market segment like millennials and people like that who are much more adept at the technology than someone from an older generation, maybe like myself. But tell me a little bit about how you incorporate reviews into your marketing.
Sure. So, you know, just like Ruth said, we use a platform in real time that delivers all of our reviews to us. We actually use a platform that actually filters and feeds different review sites to us. So if you backed up a year and a half, 2 years ago, we would be actively receiving emails and notifications from different review sites, a Yelp or a, you know, apartmentratings.com, or we would go in and log into those separate sources. Now we have a platform that gathers all that information together. It all comes in under one dashboard, all the different sites. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I think is important, though, and you mentioned that that they feel like if a review is read, that maybe they'll read that and you won't see them as a prospect. And so how we combat that is we respond to every review. So we call, you know, a negative review, maybe you call it a fall, right? So it's not how you fall, it's how you recover.
Sure.
And so we think it's important to demonstrate how we serve the good and the bad. And that really is what will drive the customer. Mm-hmm. They'll read the bad review, but what they're looking for is how was this resolved, right? And how did they handle this? And does it seem authentic? Does it seem like someone got on there as the mad apartment manager? Or does it seem on there and someone said, thank you, mm-hmm. you know, thank you for helping us be better. And I think if they feel like they can see some transparency at the digital level,
right.
then it may cause them to come see us.
So when a review is posted in real time, or when you get notification the review is posted in real time, who does that notification go to within Morgan, and how do you deal with it?
So we so my department, the marketing department, will get that notification. We see it, and then it'll ping us again if it goes beyond 24 hours or 48 hours. The managers also get that as well. And so I think that, you know, Ruth or Danny can probably speak more to this, but we really rely on our sites to give kind of a location-based response. So mm-hmm. Oftentimes the managers will push it out to a consultant and say, hey, do you know who this might be who left this review? You know, give me some information. I want to respond to this and really make my answer impactful, right?
Right.
So we try not to handle it at the corporate level, although we're notified of every review.
Yeah. So thinking about our listeners who may or may not have the ability or the budget to be able to get technology that incorporates everything, let's say they see a review on Yelp, what is your tip to them? What is your recommendation to them as far as how they should handle it?
Yes. So, you know, we did this before we had online reviews, and I think we just forgot about it because things have taken place. But many years ago, we used to ask people at renewal when we completed a work order and we actually saw people in person all the time, mm-hmm. If they'd like to write a comment card. You know, if you'd like to tell us how your experience was, if we got a note from somebody when they moved out, and we would post those on a bulletin board, or we'd share them in a photo album in your leasing office. I mean, all that stuff was really review kind of at the property.
Right.
We don't think about that anymore, but I mean, there used to be photo albums at properties of
right.
pictures of resident events, of notes and stuff. That all has what has turned into online reputation management.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been doing that, right? Now we manage it a whole lot better because the technology is available, but you can still do it at the property.
Right. And I guess a lot of folks I've talked to in the industry are doing that, for instance, through Facebook, where they'll post photographs of events and so forth that are going on there and try and create that image in the mind of a prospect or existing resident when it comes time for renewals, you know, what's going on at the property. Ruth, tell me a little bit about, and we've got about 30 seconds, but tell me a little bit about what, you know, a story possibly of a challenge that you had with a review and how you were able to change the mind of somebody.
Sure. I just had a very recent one where, you know, an applicant was declined and was upset about being declined and went in and put in, you know, a negative review. And we sent cookies to this applicant and said, we're really sorry that we couldn't assist you. Mm-hmm. Very small, you know, just a small, so sorry we couldn't help you, but we wish you the best of luck. And 24 hours later, the review was removed.
Wow.
And so I think taking that opportunity to just, again, it's people helping people, right? And mm-hmm. if they feel that human touch, that even if you couldn't help them, they will respond to that. And I've had success stories that way where we were able to get reviews removed and it helped a lot.
That's great. And we want to talk some more about those success stories. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of the challenges and opportunities in leasing multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Joe Melton, Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services with the Morgan Group, Ruth Reyes, a Senior Community Manager with the Morgan Group, and Danny Leviston, a leasing consultant with the Morgan Group. I do want to remind our listeners before we jump back into the conversation that if you want to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Joe, we were talking during the break about the fact that even though the topic is says the challenges of leasing multifamily properties, that there's actually a new reality these days that people have got to embrace, I would imagine, if they want to be successful. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So, you know, we were talking about how we're talking to our teams about understanding the leasing process and how there is no kind of perfect way. And we're finding more and more now, and I think it spans over many different age groups. I don't think it's specific to any age group, of people taking a little bit more time to make a decision. And some of it might be the fact that there is a very concession-driven market. There's lots of specials out there. Everybody's calling the follow-up phone calls every day and offering, hey, forgot to tell you when you were here yesterday, I can give you this if you come back today. And so everybody's kind of getting those extra kind of ticklers, right? So I think that slows down the process a little bit. But also, I think we need to just understand if that's what it is, then we shouldn't be so concerned about closing the deal today, right? Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. You know, we at the Morgan Group, we shop and monitor all of our consultants and the people that work for us, because our people are most important. And we do ask that they ask for the money. So I don't want you to misunderstand that we're not interested in closing deals right away, although we know that's not the reality most of the time. And so I think it's much more effective to tell somebody, where are you today? What can I do today to check something off your list that's going to make this decision happen for you? And allow that to happen. And I think that, you know, Danny can probably speak to this. He lives and breathes this every day at one of our communities in City Center, where oftentimes people end up making decisions because they're in an environment where there's a sense of trust and not sell. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to kind of step back and understand that and kind of grow the trust between an opportunity and not the idea that you're selling, right?
Right.
All the time.
I agree with you. I certainly do agree. To really speak with a client that comes in and take the burden off that they feel that they need to make a decision before they leave, if you take that pressure off of them, I think they're more likely to feel empowered to make a decision based on why they are there to see us in the first place. Because we have our sales pitch, we want to close the deal, but at the end of the day, the client's there to, has to, probably a checkoff list. This is what I want, this is what I need. And my first idea is to listen to the client and find out if we have what they're looking for. If that floor plan is not available to show, we try to do the virtual tour. But at the end of the day, the more they feel that you're not there to sell and that you care about their concerns, they're more likely to lean in your direction to say, I can trust this person, to let me make a decision.
I would tell you too that one thing that we see that is common these days is that the potential renter is so overwhelmed with choices, right? They're going out shopping, 10 plus properties. And so in order for you to stay relevant, you have to have that human connection with that prospect. Mm-hmm. That you want them to remember who you are. You want them to remember that you were the one that said, can I call next door and see if they're available? That human touch makes the difference between them going and getting a robotic tour.
Right.
And also, they're considering different submarkets. So you have to be able to pay attention to those triggers that are going to allow you to sell not only your community, but maybe, your area.
Right.
And so it gives them a little bit less choices to make, and it takes the pressure off of them. And it feels more like you're helping them find not only just a new home, but their new neighborhood, their new place where they're going to reside.
Yeah, you mentioned that you may be one of 10 properties,
right,
that they go to visit. Is there a preference that you want to be, which number you want to be in that 1 through 10?
I'd like to say on top of the list, for second or third.
I'd like to say the
if
last.
I'm there, I'm good. Well, many times people will come in and say, oh, this is my first stop.
Yeah.
Like that's a way to say, okay, well, I'll let you leave without trying to sell, close the deal. But that's not as important as the fact that we have some things that are very, I should say, a community that's an enjoyable community.
Sure.
We have a product that's what I view as one of the top of the line communities,
right,
in the city. In most cases, they're there to check off their list. And I really want them to see what else is out there.
Yeah.
But I always say, keep us on top of your list. Give us another look before you make a decision.
And one other thing I want to mention is when you have those multiple tours, it's so important to not lose the momentum, right? So the way that you would treat a customer the first time they walk in the door, that's the way you should treat them the third or the fourth time.
True.
With the same excitement.
True.
And the same willingness to give them a great, great tour and your full attention and your time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, and I would say, we kind of have this internal thought that we have 100% closing ratio at the Morgan Group. And I say that because our job is to lease to someone who needs a home, right? And we would love for them to live with us, and we hope they do. But we want to be part of that decision. So they may lease somewhere else, but we'd like to believe that we're always part of that decision. And so for that reason, I would tell you we lease to 100% of our clients. Mm-hmm. May not be with us. The goal is to have them within our brand and within our family. But we want to be part of that process. I think eventually, if you don't choose us now, you might choose us later.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know when your situation, whether it be location or financially, might change. And we are the option, right? So
we mentioned the word concessions, which in apartment, in the world of apartments, it's an evil can be a very evil word to say. But what are you seeing right now in the way of concessions? And are you seeing it mostly in lease-ups, or is it in certain markets that you feel that may be saturated?
I think that we were talking about this yesterday, Ruth and I, and I think it's market-driven.
Yeah.
I think that the expectation of a new community is that somebody expects there to be some sort of a new construction or lease-up special concession. So, but I think that's separate from just market-driven softness and where people are really trying to just maintain occupancy. But Ruth, she can share. We were talking about this yesterday, how, you know, as a manager, you know, and as owners, we operate on the honesty side of concessions. It's mm-hmm. so important.
Yeah. So one of the things that, you know, we were talking about yesterday is that, you know, it's so important to be completely transparent, not only with your potential renter, but with your communities, your competing communities. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times what we find, you know, we at the Morgan Group, if you walk in as a prospect, as a realtor, as, you know, a leasing agent, just shopping your comps, you're going to get full transparency with us. Mm-hmm. And why we do business that way is because we want to make sure that, you know, we don't have anything to hide. We believe right. in our product. We believe that the value that we're giving you. And if there is a need for a concession, you know, we want to be transparent with that. And I think that helps with, you know, not only our reputation, but we all want the same thing, right? We want to rent at the highest rents possible mm-hmm. in the market. And your renter now is a lot more educated. So they understand, you know, what whether you tell them 1 month up front or prorated, they want the check writing rent.
Right, right. Joe, you know, I see these job postings from time to time in the industry on different websites that I am involved with. And, you know, the postings will be for a leasing consultant. And they'll be, you know, one of them will be worded as a lease-up specialist is what they're looking for. And the, you know, the one is a rock star leasing agent. So what does that mean to you?
Yeah, so it's funny. So I think that if you kind of come to work and you operate in the title you're given at the Morgan Group, then you're probably not as successful as our employees, most of us that come to work every day and operate as player coaches, people that wear many hats, right? And so I go back to, and I've said this before, where there was a time a few years ago where people started to try and rename what leasing offices were, right? Mm-hmm. They were calling them leasing centers, community centers, sales centers, you know. I think we were trying to come up with all these whiz-bang terms for what was there all the time and what people were not ever going to stop calling it. If you ask a prospect, you know, where do you go find out information at an apartment community? I look for the leasing office. It's not fancy, right?
Right.
It's just what it is. And so
right.
I think the same thing is kind of with how we, you know, call our associates, leasing consultants, community managers, senior community managers if they hire more than one asset. And so it's all associated with kind of the work you do. But, you know, If you want to tell somebody that you're the rock star specialist, you know, fine by me, own it, you know, because chances are you're going to be helping us set up for a resident event. You're going to be helping us do due diligence. We're going
right.
to be cross training you. We're going to promise you, you know, growth and advancement. And that all that doesn't say rock star specialist to me. All that says opportunity. Right.
right.
And so maybe we should start hiring opportunists.
Right.
You know,
like
because that, you know, that's really what we kind of grow here.
Yeah.
You know, selfishly.
Exactly. I understand that. Well, we're going to take a break. I want to remind our listeners, if they would like to contribute to the show by offering guest suggestions, show topic suggestions, or listen to any of the archived episodes, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. We're going to be back after this short break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the challenges and opportunities in leasing multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Joe Melton, Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services with the Morgan Group, Ruth Reyes, a Senior Community Manager with the Morgan Group, and Danny Levinson, a Leasing Consultant with the Morgan Group. And I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Ruth, during the break, you had mentioned that when I'd asked the question about the differences in the titles of a lease-up specialist versus a leasing consultant, that you had some good thoughts on that. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Yeah, so one of the things that stands out to me is, you know, when I'm hiring for a lease-up versus a stabilized asset, you know, you're looking for, even though, you know, your job description is technically the same for leasing consultant, lease-up specialist, you're looking for a very different set of unique skills for each, right? So for a lease-up, to me, what I'm looking for is someone that understands marketing, that understands that they're creating a brand identity from the ground up. There is no reputation for that site. It is a brand new community, right? For a stabilized asset, we're looking for someone that understands retention a lot better, that understands that sometimes we go into sites that we've not maybe managed before, or, you know, whatever that situation may be. And you, as a leasing agent, you're repairing those relationships with your customers, trying to retain, right? And right. And maybe change the story a little bit about what that reputation and what that brand identity has been like in that site before. So even though, you know, we do some of the same things, it is a unique set of skills for each different environment, lease up versus stabilized.
Yeah. And I think Morgan Group, Joe, you guys are in a position to where you do have a lot of lease ups because you develop properties, whereas maybe some of our listeners are part of companies where they have stabilized properties, and or they're buying existing properties that are value add, that they're trying to figure out ways to make differences on the property.
Absolutely. I mean, we are fortunate to have our Pearl brand and some great partners that allow us to be a really great developer. And you know, we're down the path. We've got a great pipeline, and we're excited about the future for the Morgan Group. But I think that the job of a leasing specialist or a leasing consultant at any capacity is really the same. There's no difference in what the expectation is from a prospect. You know, they show up to a Class A or a Class B community, however you classify that. And I think that's subjective. Some mm-hmm. people, you know, an owner would say all their stuff is Class A,
sure,
right? And they should,
that's
right? Because they're proud of it. But the expectation of the experience and what they want for their dollar, what they're spending, is no different.
Mm-hmm. Danny, how much of your time do you spend? Because I think resident retention is something that's a key for a lot of our listeners. How much of your time do you spend on resident retention, where it's not a new prospect walking through the door, you're trying to get a renewal from somebody?
We've been talking about retention versus building a reputation. And to get right to the answer of your question, probably 60 to 70% of my time during the day would be continuing to keep the reputation that we started with the client when they first walked in the door. Anything from package pickups to parking issues, those issues have to be handled properly to assure the resident that I'm still here for you.
Right.
And so I would say 60 to 70% of my time per day.
And do you have a story you can share with our listeners of where you've had a resident who was not happy about something and you were able to change their mind and get them to stay? I know it's unfair to ask you on the spot, but
well, I can think of a few actually, but I can say that whenever there's an opportunity to prove to the client that we are still here for you, sometimes it's a thin line between I'm going to help the client versus we have a set way of doing things. So sometimes you may need help and go speak with the manager about what should or what shouldn't happen. We have concierge on one side of our property where we assist residents with all their packages, taking things upstairs, getting their dry cleaning, things of that nature. So while on that side of the building at another location called Residence, I can say that a resident asked me to take everything in her car upstairs. And I just, at first I didn't go for it. And I said, well, I need to do something different here because this lady's so sweet. Mm-hmm. And I went in and talked to Ruth Reyes at the time, who was the property manager for both properties. And she said, well, go ahead and take it up for her. But after I got upstairs and actually did take all of her product and groceries and everything, including plants upstairs, I realized how sweet this resident was. Mm-hmm. And her husband met me at the door and helped me to bring everything in. And they talked to me about art, which is somehow one of the most creative things I've ever done is paint. Mm-hmm. Oh, and wow. So they talked about art for about 3 to 4 minutes. And I realized I would have missed a valuable relationship and friendship and association.
A valuable moment.
Valuable moment.
To make a connection.
With the residents if I had not gone up there. And I realized sometimes we need to power down and just kind of listen to what the resident or what the client might be saying at that time.
Yeah. And what I heard too is it's not just the resident that got something out of that. You got something out of it,
I certainly did. And I was a little bit emotional on the way down just thinking about how I would have reacted with my own set of eyes until I talked to my manager and she said, you know what, they're really sweet. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And I do want to say in our communities, we have a huge opportunity to connect with our residents every day. You know, the way that our buildings are, you know, we have coffee machines right next to our leasing desk. And so taking that time to, you know, stop for just a couple, you know, we can't chit chat all day, but taking that time to stop. And when you see somebody, giving them a couple of minutes of your undivided attention, I think that's retention in itself. That
sure.
They're going to remember that, you know, you care about them. You're doing, you know, what would before be the warm calls where you're calling in the middle of the lease maybe to check on them. You have that opportunity to do that every single day when you're encountering your residents.
Well, you know, Paul, technology giveth and it taketh away. and so while it's great, what it does do is it has created a virtual resident base for us. And so once people move in, we don't see them as much. And so when you do see a resident, it is a special opportunity. It's unlike anything that's happened in the market in the past 10 years. The idea that you would see me once I moved in 10 times during my lease contract is pretty special because everything can be done through a mobile app, through online, through a phone call. And so virtually to be able to do business and interact with your leasing office is kind of the name of the game now.
Sure.
Everybody's doing it.
And add
great.
The human touch.
Absolutely.
The human
so
touch
when
is
you
very
see
important.
Somebody, you know, I hope that, you know, and this is for anybody out there that maybe you don't have all the technology, you're probably at a much better advantage than sometimes we are with all the technology because you see people so much more often.
Right.
That's such a special opportunity.
You know, I think one of the big knocks that the apartment industry has had over the years has been that, you know, you don't have that sense of community. And so I think you guys are in a special situation where you have people that have moved on from owning homes and are in their, you know, a lot of times are in their retirement years, and they're used to that sense of community. Sounds to me like you're trying to recreate that for them in your properties to be able to continue that because it's something that's a value to them.
And that's where the need is.
Yes.
I mean, the need calls for sometimes residents want to be left alone and enjoy their space, and other times they may need to come down and have coffee and say good morning to someone.
Yeah.
So it's you kind of have to take it as it comes to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that we believe that, you know, the resident that is engaged in their community, you know, we're very events-driven, you know, even if it's small events throughout the month, because if you know your neighbors, it's kind of like living in a neighborhood, right?
Sure.
And it's going to create that retention that you can't quantify. People love their neighbors and they know them. They're going to be more likely to stay.
Well, the last minute and a half or so of this segment, tell us a little bit about some of the events that you try and do that you found are successful that don't necessarily take a big budget for, in case some of our listeners would like to try and pick up on those tips?
Yeah, just for example, very simple one, Wine Down Wednesday. You know, mm-hmm. we put wine and cheese out, and it's really just a hour and a half event, and it gets people right after work the ability to network and engage. And we try to do it, you know, right before the leasing office is closing, so you also have those, you know, prospective renters that are coming in and out of the office and mm-hmm. seeing the engagement, and they're able to talk to residents and get a true, hey, here's a testimonial, this is my experience, and
right.
and that's great.
And you get a lot of participation, I would imagine.
Yeah, we get quite a bit of engagement on our resident events. People love to, you know, they love to meet their neighbors. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are new to Houston. They're either new to the city, new just to the country. So having, again, that connection with people and making friends is huge in retention.
And I would imagine that in some ways it's important to try and introduce someone who just moved in to that group of people.
So, and
I'm sure there's special techniques for that, but we're going to have to take a break. We're going to be back with our fourth and final segment of this show right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic, the challenges and opportunities of leasing on multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is Joe Melton, Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services with the Morgan Group, Ruth Reyes, Senior Community Manager with the Morgan Group, and Danny Leviston, a leasing consultant with the Morgan Group. And you know, we were kind of chatting during the break a little bit about the opportunities that you have when it comes time for renewal. You don't want to wait till right before the renewal. What types of things do you do? Because the name of the game, obviously, every owner wants to, you know, drive their rents higher and increase the rent revenue. What types of things do you try to do in order to prepare for that increase with the resident, and prepare the resident for that increase?
Yeah, so we've been talking about, you know, training your teams to be thoughtful of that retention all throughout the lease term, not just right before it's going to happen, right before we're going to ask for the money, right? You're training your resident to, hey, remember 6 months ago when you had that major leak? We took really great care of you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's important for your whole team to understand their market as they're going into this, into these conversations. Because you're asking for the money, right? You're basically closing them all over again. But you've had an opportunity over the past year to make impactful moments where when it comes to that conversation, you can truly resell them on the value of, you've lived here for 12 months, we've taken great care of you, we're going to continue to take great care of you for 8% more, maybe, on this next 13 months,
sure.
You know? And so you have a very unique opportunity to train your teams to, you are reselling over the past 12 months, you're reselling your community, yourself, and your service to your customer.
And I was going to ask, your product at Morgan Group is a high-quality product. You have a resident that's expects the finer things, mm-hmm. and so forth. How transient is that market as opposed to someone who is living from paycheck to paycheck, who is trying to figure out how they're going to make their next rent payment?
Mm-hmm. I think that our renter is a lot more, is very educated. I've had renters that sent me, you know, market surveys for, I don't know where they found them, or, you know, just reports. And
right.
So you have to be extremely savvy of your market. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to go back and go, no, this is the data. And, you know, they're numbers driven people.
Sure.
Our residents are very, very, you know, again, knowledgeable. So mm-hmm. they want it to make sense, not only emotionally, but on paper too.
Right.
So you have to be prepared to have those conversations and kind of stand your ground and not be intimidated into, you know, because the concession conversation is always going to come up.
Yeah, it's always going to happen.
Even during the renewal, it always comes up. Mm-hmm. So again, you're just proving up your value once more. And I find that when you have those educated conversations and welcome people into your office and go, well, you know, tell me where you're getting this rent. Because mm-hmm. I'll have residents that, you know, contact me and go, well, your competitor's offering a similar floor plan for $300 less. And it's really just kind of a bluffing game, right?
Right.
When you call them out on it, they, and you're like, well, I want to understand what you're seeing so I can better serve you.
Right.
The conversation shifts.
Right.
And so, you know, take those opportunities and have in-person conversations. You know, this is their home. It's a big decision.
Sure.
So welcome them back into your office and have that human touch.
Danny, what has surprised you about when you've had a conversation with a client of where you've been surprised of something that they've asked for, maybe, that would not be considered the norm?
My first thought is that traditionally or historically in the last several years, I would lease garden-style apartment homes, of mm-hmm. course. This is my first mid-rise. Very
right.
nice.
Right.
Well, nice scale, very upscale property. And a lot of times residents will come in and put numbers in front of you to say, listen, this person or this location down the street is $200 less. They're giving me $1,000 off and another $1,000 every 3 months. And so I come to expect that because mm-hmm. what they're doing is saying that they can live somewhere for less. Mm-hmm. That may be true, but the value of what we have at our property at the Morgan Group in the mid-rise is a different product altogether in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I began to show and share with them what the value of this property represents and how it may be worth that
mm-hmm.
to have the environment that you're going to be living in.
Joe, how's the best way you think to communicate that value to the prospect or to the resident who you're trying to get to renew? I mean, obviously, if they've lived there, they should know. If they haven't lived there yet, they're reading reviews, they're looking at the units they've toured. Is there anything special that you can do to make sure they understand the real value that they get?
Absolutely. I think back to the renewal piece. I had a thought when Ruth was describing what that looked like in that ongoing piece that, you know, hope is not a feeling we hope residents bring. Hope is not a feeling we want residents to bring to the table when it's time for renewal. It's the knowing, like, I know how I've been treated. I know how I'll be treated. Mm-hmm. I don't think we want someone to say, this was a great year. I hope it's another great year, right? Because that means you haven't touched them. And so I think it also rolls into this, that conversation starts when you're having the toughest conversations, when they have the pricing, the concessions, and the specials out there. And so I would tell any leasing agent out there, no matter what community that you're at, when someone says to you, they're doing this for $200 less, they're doing this, you know, I would politely say, have you asked them why?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, it's not the best location. It's probably the unit that's had the, you know, it's been the most days vacant. It's a challenging space. You know, there's always a reason why things are on sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't go to a sale rack because it just came out, you know?
Right.
And so I think that if you have that kind of sales confidence instilled in you, that when you're posed with that, then the reality is, if that's what's happening, that's what's happening. But it's an opportunity for you to show the value that you have. And it's for them to understand, right? Mm-hmm. It's for them to gather that value. And you know, we have our brand kind of saying in the Pearl brand is live well. And I speak about this because we wanted it to be very high level, because we didn't want it to be so deep that we told you what that was, right? We want it to resonate with our prospect however it resonates. And so live well to them might be price.
Mm-hmm.
It might be, I have cut my commute literally in half by choosing to live here. It might be the gym. It represents a lot in the renter profile. And so I think, just like our tagline, live well, we handle those concessions the same way. We're honest with them, and we just create the value of what the product we have to offer.
Mm-hmm. And Danny, how much emphasis do you think today is on amenities from the standpoint of almost every property that's going to be a comp is going to have some similar amenities, whether it's a dog park or, you know, whatever it might be. What do you see as far as amenities that the people are really excited about?
If you're in city center, mm-hmm. I can say that most of the amenities are pretty close, pretty similar. How well those amenities are made up, kept up.
Sure.
That's important. Mm-hmm. Is there a price attached to it? There are some people who actually pay fees for mm-hmm. the amenities. And I can say to you, if they walk in the gym and they see apples sitting out, if they see towels sitting out, they see water accessible, the gym is clean, it's smelling good. And I think those things can allow them to say, I can work out here comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, people actually decide that they're going to give up their big time membership somewhere else.
Right.
Because of how nice and how comfortable and how well it smells, and very welcoming experience when they come in to tour with us.
Right.
Yeah, I think people see those amenity spaces as almost an extension of their homes, right? And so you have to make sure that you're staying on top of that, of those spaces, not only for your prospects, but for your residents.
Sure.
Right? Weekends are really important. After hours, having, you know, some sort of system is really important to keeping up those spaces and making them usable for your residents.
I'd say that the amenities, as I see our own communities and as I tour other communities in the markets as I travel, that it's one of my pet peeves. I think what I don't like is when an amenity is not activated. And so if you walk in and you have to walk 5 or 6 feet into a room before it activates some sensor to cut the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all of a sudden the lights are warming up and now the space becomes active, right? And so I feel like you have to activate these spaces with sound, with smell, with lighting, they don't look like overly decorated, quiet spaces. And I think that's for any type of product,
sure,
A, B, or C. No matter what that amenity is, it has to be activated, and it has to be part of the opening checklist. And I think that, if anything, that's the key.
Right.
You know? I mean, you can't very well say, well, I'll bring in 2 more treadmills tomorrow and let you lease if this isn't big enough for you. That probably won't happen. What you can do is have what you have it active, and have it look the best it can, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a great point. I want to take just a few minutes before we close out the show and give everybody a chance to kind of talk a little about how they got in the industry and what they enjoy about the industry. So, Ruth, you want to start?
Sure. So I actually got in the industry by complete accident. I was working in retail, and I had a friend that went to work for a management company. And I didn't know anything about it. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And she goes, well, it's just to rent apartments, and you're going to be sitting in this little office. And so, you know, I really thought I was getting into this quiet little kind of office job, if you will. And boy, was I completely wrong. But one of the things I really love about this career is that, you know, it is the most exciting, interesting every day. You know, there is never a day that I go into work and I am bored. And through the years, you learn so much in problem solving and making decisions really quickly, you know, efficient, quick, business savvy decisions. And that's something that I've enjoyed. And then, you know, the contact with people,
sure,
and the contact that you have and the opportunity that you have to impact other people. You know, now at a management level, you know, my employees, that's huge for me. I've made lifelong friends in this industry.
Right. Danny?
I started out with FedEx as a delivery person back in the 80s, and I worked for 20 years. And after so many times in and out of the truck and millions of delivered packages, it was time to make a move, I think. And so the way I got in the industry was one of my clients that I delivered to off of Allen Parkway thought I'd be a good fit for the business because, I guess, personality, mm-hmm, I'd come in with a smile. And so she did call me after I took the package and left FedEx for about a year. I sit around and spent money, and it was time to make money again. So I took the offer, and from there I've been in the business about 14 years.
Great. Joe?
Yeah, so I started in 1998, came to the business in a leasing position, was not doing anything associated with multifamily beforehand, and I still show up every day and think I'm on a set of a movie, but then they bring me back to reality. But I will tell you that it's so rewarding every day to be able to help people, and it's great to be part of the Morgan Group where it really is about the people. And I've been fortunate to work for a couple of companies where culture was king. And, you know, that's a great place to be. I will tell you that the one thing that I realize now is that we are finding the most special thing for people. It's shelter.
Sure.
You know, and if you just wake up every day and know that, then it's important to you.
Yeah. All right. Just to tell our listeners, if they want to get in touch with you, Joe, find out more about the Morgan Group or ask you some questions about some of the things we talked about on the show, how can they do that?
Yeah, sure. So our website at the Morgan Group is www.morgangroup.com. You can email me directly at joem@morgangroup.com. Danny, what's your email address?
leasing2.pearlcitycenter@morgangroup.com.
And I can be reached at manager.pearlmarketplace@morgangroup.com.
Great. Well, Ruth and Joe and Danny, thanks so much for joining us. It's been an all Morgan Group show, which is very enjoyable. I really enjoy the product that you guys have.
Was it Morgan you expected?
It was Morgan than I expected. We will be back next Friday right here at 10 a.m. on 1110 a.m. KTEK with another episode of Multifamily Matters with another panel of industry experts. So we appreciate you joining in today. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.